This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh wa nusalli wa nasallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Amin. First of all, my dearest sisters and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I really want to thank Allah, IFAM for setting up this event and enabling us all to gather here for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in so much need to come together and connect and revive our iman together, inshallah. My dearest brothers and sisters, when we look at all of the trials that we are going through as an ummah, it's very easy for some of us to begin to feel weak and to fall into despair. Everywhere we look around the world, we see suffering. In particular, the ongoing and unspeakable suffering that's been inflicted for the last 365 days upon our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant them a near victory and grant them Jannah for everything that they have endured. Meanwhile, on the home front, we need to brace ourselves for what's coming. Because one thing we have seen over and over again is that whenever conflict becomes more intense overseas, then we tend to find Islamophobia also increases. And we find certain politicians and individuals in the media who begin to incite fear and hatred against Muslims and Islam. And as a result, you find a lot of people begin to openly espouse hatred towards Muslims. So this is why one of the most important things we need to be doing right now is preparing ourselves for what's most likely coming. And how to do that is to seek the knowledge for how you can stay steadfast in practicing your deen in times of difficulty. So that's why, inshallah, today I wanted to just share 5 points of advice for how we can stand firm together, inshallah, in times of difficulty. So first of all, my dearest sisters and brothers, no matter how desperate the situation for our ummah becomes, we should never lose hope and fall into despair. And this is a time for us all to really come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to strengthen our aqidah, and to know that from the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal is that He is Al-Aleem Al-Hakim, the all-knowing, the all-wise. And so therefore, Allah Ta'ala does not will for anything to happen, whether in the heavens or the earth, except there must be a huge wisdom behind it. So that's why, if Allah Ta'ala has willed for us to go through all of these trials right now, we need to have yaqeen in our hearts that there's a huge hikmah and wisdom and benefit behind it. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may will something for you that you dislike, however Allah knows it's best for you. And perhaps you may love something and Allah knows that it's not something good for you. Allah knows and you do not know. So this is why what we need to be doing is pondering. Pondering upon the lessons that Allah Ta'ala is trying to teach us through what is happening. And brothers and sisters, one of the main things that Allah Ta'ala wants for us out of all that's going on is He wants us to wake up and move forward and evolve as an ummah. Because Allah Ta'ala knows that for too long, We have been in a state of ghafla, a state of heedlessness, where the majority of the ummah has been stuck in a type of comfort zone. Especially for many Muslims who live in the West, you can see how our hearts have become overly attached to the life of this world. And many Muslims, unfortunately, in the West, may Allah rectify our affairs, have lost their direction for what they should be striving for in this life, the true purpose of what we should be all striving for in this life. And so this is why it is a time for us right now to be taking an honest reflection, right? Taking some time to have some honest reflection upon ourselves and asking the question, what have I personally done for Islam and the Ummah? Brothers and sisters, go back and read over the seerah. How much did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba strive and sacrifice their lives and their comfort and everything they had for the sake of al-Islam and the Ummah? How much did they strive to protect this deen and protect the Ummah of al-Islam? So the reality is that after Allah Ta'ala, we wouldn't even be Muslims today if it wasn't for all that they sacrificed and put forth. So that's why now that they have passed the torch onto us, they've passed the torch of al-Islam onto us, we need to be asking ourselves, what are we personally doing for the Ummah? Do we go to bed at night thinking about the Muslim community and the Ummah and how we can personally contribute to improve it? So brothers and sisters, one of the biggest diseases we are suffering from, because we've become so absorbed, over-absorbed in our individual lives, is that unfortunately the majority of Muslims, when you look around the world, especially in the affluent countries, they've stopped thinking about what each and every one of us can do as an individual to bring about positive change for the Ummah, no matter how small that contribution may be. So for example, when you raise your children, do you have the intention to raise them to be leaders for the Ummah? Or do you just have children so that you know they can get a good education, get a good job, and make lots of money? You know, when you choose a career path for yourself or a degree at university, are you actually thinking about what you could give back to the community with that degree or with that career path? Or are you just thinking to yourself about how you can go on and buy a house and go on expensive holidays? That's how we know where our purpose, you know, the direction of our purpose, right? So brothers and sisters, we can see that for amongst the wisdoms for why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all of these trials is because He knows that from the amazing affairs of the believers is that fitna or tribulations is actually something that refines us as believers. And so Allah knows that when we go through trials, it's something that causes us to grow and evolve. Whether as individuals or as a community. And you can see this if you look into the history of al-Islam. I'll give you some quick examples. When the Ummah faced the trial of people beginning to recite the Quran in ways which were not revealed by Allah Azza wa Jal, it caused the Muslims at the time of Uthman ibn Affan to collect the Quran upon one official mushaf. When people began fabricating and lying about the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole science of hadith was developed by the scholars of Al-Islam as a result. Whenever heretics began propagating their false ideologies in the Ummah, it caused the scholars of Al-Islam to write books clarifying the correct aqidah for the Muslims. So it's when we go through these difficult times as an Ummah that we actually see how we begin to step up and evolve, subhanAllah. And already, you only need to look around the world to see that all of these different tribulations that we're going through are slowly bringing us together and uniting us. All over the world, alhamdulillah, and may Allah increase it, we're seeing that revival of Islam. People are rediscovering their faith when they had unfortunately fallen into a lot of heedlessness in the past. So brothers and sisters, realize that everything that we are currently facing as an ummah, it is a rahmah from Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. The one who, from his mercy, he wants to wake us up and he wants us to return back to him. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, the most important advice for all of us now is do not let what's happening right now paralyze you into doing nothing. Rather, use the pain and the sadness that you are feeling to fuel yourself, to try to do whatever is in your power to step up and contribute in whatever way you can, despite how small that may be. Individually, we cannot change the whole world. But if you think about small ripples, when they gather together, they become waves of change which can transform the world, bi-idhnillah. And Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who strive for our sake sincerely, we open the paths for them, and that verily Allah Ta'ala is with those who strive with al-ihsan. The second advice I have for you, inshallah, today in how to stand firm in times of difficulty is to know that your outward ability to stand firm upon your Islam reflects the inner state of your heart. So what I'm saying is, if you want to be able to stand strong outwardly in your Islam, you need to first pay attention to your inner state and develop that inner state, inshallah. We have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, "Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah, idha salahat salaha al jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat fasad al jasadu kullu, ala wa hiya al qalb." That verily in the body there is a lump of flesh, that if it is rectified, the rest of the body becomes rectified. If it is corrupted, the rest of the body becomes corrupted. Verily, it is the heart. So we know that the place for change begins with the heart. And so this is why the first step, if we want to be resilient in times of difficulty, we need to focus on strengthening our iman. Because the reality is, if you truly love Allah Ta'ala from your heart, if you truly love al-Islam from your heart, you won't compromise your values or your identity as a Muslim for anyone or anything. And this is why one of the most important things you should focus on, especially in times of difficulty, is to seek knowledge. Ground yourself in your knowledge. Ground yourself in learning your aqidah, your Islamic belief, the foundations of your deen. Make them firm in your heart. And realize that if you don't have a strong foundation in your deen, if your kids don't have a strong foundation in their deen, it's so easy for shaitan to come and begin whispering into your heart and cause you to feel weak. And this is why we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us in times of tribulations to cling to his sunnah, to the level he said, "Addu alayha bin nawajith," to bite onto it with your molar teeth if you have to in times of tribulations. So from this we learn that it's from holding fast to the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is what will help you to remain steadfast in times of difficulty and trials. Then the other way that we need to strengthen ourselves internally is by focusing on our ibadah, focusing on our acts of worship. A lot of people don't realize that the acts of ibadah that subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to do, they are actually like tools that help us to remain resilient. If you look at the prayers, for example, the five prayers, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the five prayers are amud ad-deen. They are the foundations of a person's Islam, a person's deen. So what we can say based upon that is if your prayers are not stable, if your prayers are not in order, you miss prayers regularly, or even you don't pray, then it means that your foundation in Islam is also unstable. And so therefore you'll find the rest of your practice of Islam will also be unstable. And so you need to ask yourself the question, how would you be able to remain steadfast and strong upon your deen when the waves of fitna and tribulations come upon you? Also from the tools that Allah Ta'ala has given us is, of course, the words of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran. The Quran, Allah Ta'ala revealed it to strengthen the heart of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if that's the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much more are we in need for the Quran to strengthen our hearts? Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. That this is how we strengthen your heart with our words. And so recite it slowly and ponder over its verses. And subhanAllah, my dear sisters and brothers, you see how the Quran, when you read it and you focus on it and you ponder over it, you see how the Quran constantly fills your heart with hope. It fills your heart with husnul dhan in Allah, the best thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you internalize the Islamic aqidah in your heart. Just ponder for one moment on one powerful ayah in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran. Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not feel weak and do not fall into despair, as you will be superior if you are true believers. If you are wounded, then know that those who oppose you, your enemies, have also been wounded. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And this is how we alternate the days between people. Why? Allah tells us in the next part of the verse, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. Why? So that Allah Ta'ala may know and verify who are those who truly believe sincerely in Allah, and in order to take from amongst you shuhada, take from amongst you martyrs. And if you think about this ayah in the context of what we've been seeing coming out of Gaza, may Allah accept them from amongst those who will enter Al-Firdaws Al-A'la, the highest levels of Jannah. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah Ta'ala does not love the wrongdoers. So brothers and sisters, the Quran is full of these types of ayat. And so that's why if you want to be firm in facing trials of this life, don't just keep the Quran for reciting during Ramadan. You need to make the Quran a constant companion in this life, because this is what will continue to strengthen and solidify your iman and solidify you and strengthen you from within. Also from the ways to strengthen yourself internally, my dear sisters and brothers, is to constantly be upon the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, constantly connecting to Allah through your dhikr and your dua to Allah. Because if you want to be strong as a believer, you cannot depend on yourself only, right? You need to seek the help from Allah al-Qawi, from whom all strength, He is the source of all strength. As Allah Ta'ala says, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah. Right? Remain firm and patient. And you will not be able to be patient except when, if Allah makes you firm and patient. The other thing as well, when we're talking about strengthening ourselves internally, we need to, work on our self-confidence. We need to work on our self-confidence. Because the reality is, when you feel confident within yourself, you won't actually notice people staring at you, or if they start laughing at you, you won't actually notice it. And this point I wanted to mention in particular for our sisters who wear the hijab, right? Because the reality is, we are the ones, those of us who wear the hijab, we are the ones in the front line when it comes to being visible as Muslims. So this is why we need to feel confident in wearing it. And I just want to quickly share something with you, and that is, when I was a new revert to Islam, one of the things that helped me take that final step to put on the hijab was I saw this guy turn up to uni, and he came to uni with this like purple mohawk. And I basically said to myself, if that guy can turn up to uni and feel proud of that purple mohawk, how much more proud should I feel to wear the hijab that Allah Ta'ala loves and has commanded me to wear? So one of the things that I have also found in my over 30 years, alhamdulillah, of practicing al-Islam, is that when you hold fast to your values and principles, you'll actually find the majority of people in Australia will actually respect you for that, even if they don't agree with you. And the reality is also that those who hate you for being a Muslim, they're never going to be pleased with you unless you give up your whole deen. Okay, so that's why when you compromise your deen, what you're actually doing is you're giving away part of your honour as a Muslim. And the other thing I want to also advise you all is be careful of what you expose yourselves to when it comes to exposing yourself to negative narratives or Islamophobic narratives, you know, whether we're talking about in the media or on movies, things like that. And you need to be careful with your own children as well, because a lot of subtle, you know, very anti-Islamic narratives in the media, you know, on even on the nightly news, don't just let the news play and you're not aware of what your children are actually absorbing, okay? Why I'm saying that is, to be honest, when my kids were growing up, I purposely did not have that nightly news on just blaring in the lounge room, because I was aware that there was many times the media was very negative against Muslims. And I did not want my kids to grow up having some sort of complex about themselves, you know, where they look down themselves because they're Muslim or they feel embarrassed to be a Muslim. Okay, so that's why, as much as possible, we used to try to expose our kids to positive Muslim role models. Okay, like back in the days, we used to have them listen to Islamic cartoons, Arabic ones, cartoons that, you know, would show them positive examples of Muslims, you know, the honour of being a Muslim, the high manners and akhlaq of being a Muslim, the bravery and resilience of being a Muslim. In today's, you know, for women or for people here who don't have Arabic language, for example, and you're looking for something, probably the best shows I can give you as an alternative to, you know, mainstream American movies and things like that is the Turkish series like Ertuğrul and Osman, because they do have, like, they do have that, you know, the honor of a Muslim is something, is a very strong theme in those shows, right? What I'm saying is, my dear sisters and brothers, no matter how hard it gets, keep holding firm to your values and your identity as Muslims. And always remember that the greater the struggle, the greater the reward. There is a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ tells us that in front of you are days of sabr. In front of you are days of patience. And he tells us that the one who is patient in that time, it's like they're holding onto hot embers. That's how difficult it's going to get to hold onto your faith. But then he tells us this amazing news in which he said that the one who strives in worship in that time, their reward will be like 50 of you. And he was talking to the Sahaba. The Sahaba said, 50 of them? He said, no, 50 of you. As in, when you, for example, as a Muslim sister, you wear hijab in this time, it's so much harder to wear hijab now than, for example, when the Muslims were living in Medina, when the whole environment is wearing hijab. So the harder it is for you to practice your deen, the greater the reward, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So always keep that in your mind. Finally, my dear brothers and sisters, one of the most important ways to remain steadfast, especially in difficult times, is to stick with the jama'ah of the Muslims, stick with the community of the Muslims. Come to events like this, which is organized by IFAM, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. Stick to the masjid, come to the classes, be connected with your Muslim community. Realize that strength comes from us being together, from us coming together and being united. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the similitude of that believer who leaves the community and distances themselves away from the jama'ah of the Muslims. He tells us that they are like a stray sheep, and that the shaitan, who is like the wolf from amongst mankind, easily preys upon that stray sheep who's gone away and separated from the flock. And that's why he says, wa alaykum bil jama'ah. Upon you is sticking with the jama'ah of the Muslims. So especially in difficult times, this is a time for us to be coming together, right? In order for us to strengthen one another through our collaboration and through our unity. In conclusion, my dear sisters and brothers, when facing difficult times, each of us has one of two choices. You can allow yourself to feel paralyzed by all that's happening and compromise your Islamic values and identity as a Muslim, or you can rise up and allow the pain you feel in your heart to fuel you into becoming stronger and more proactive for the ummah than you ever were before, inshallah. And brothers and sisters, we all know how much our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to cry and make dua for his ummah, ummati, ummati, over and over again, right? So just imagine coming on the day of resurrection, and inshallah you meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his hold, his water tank, which is water is whiter than milk and its taste is sweeter than honey. And then just imagine that you get to look at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask yourself this question. When you look at the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't you wish to feel happy in your heart that you know that you used to strive for his ummah after him, his beloved ummah after him? So my dearest sisters and brothers, I ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us all steadfast. May he relieve the trials of our ummah. May he keep us all upon the straight path until we follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into Jannah and unite us amongst the prophets and the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa li wa lakum. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu wa la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.